For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Does that mean that if you're not led by the Spirit of God, you are not a son of God? I believe it does. I base that on this scripture. If you are not led by the Spirit of God, you are not a son of God. I think it's fair to say that. All right? If you are led by the spirit of Satan, you are not a son of God. If you are led by the spirit of the flesh, you are not a son of God. If you are led around with a hook in the nose by the spirit of this world, you are not a son of God. So the verse makes sense, doesn't it? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In other words, it's imperative that we are led by the Spirit of God. So what we have to do now is learn how to be led by the Spirit of God to verify and confirm the fact that we are the sons of God. Because if we are not led by the Spirit of God, I think we can read this scripture to say we are not the sons of God. But if we're led by the Spirit of God, we are the sons of God. I'd like to begin by reading a little story in John chapter 21, beginning at verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, unto Peter, Jesus to Peter, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Don't be led around by somebody else or something else. Follow me. Is that what Jesus is saying to each one of us individually tonight? Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, that would be John, which also leaned on his breast at supper. That's why we know it's John. The one who said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Now we're convinced that's John. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? You know, so many of us will go to Bible school if somebody else will. So many of us will witness if somebody else will. So many of us will come to pre-service prayer if somebody else will. So many of us will seek the Lord if somebody else will. And that's the way Peter was. Peter said, What shall this man do? And Jesus said to him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Follow thou me. Jesus wants every one of us to follow him. And let me just talk for a few minutes tonight about implicit obedience. Do you know what implicit obedience is? Implicit obedience is this. You can look it up in your dictionary. When you have a command from somebody you know and trust, you obey the command with, even if it's ambiguous. Even if you do not understand at the time the command is given, you give it implicit obedience. You do it anyway because of the one who gave the command. That's implicit obedience to me. Hallelujah. We need implicit obedience. What a record of implicit obedience the Apostle Peter had before he got saved. Remember when he was called from Lydda to Joppa, and Dorcas was sick, and Dorcas had died. Her name was Tabitha, also called Dorcas. She died. They called Peter. Peter went to Joppa, and he raised her from the dead. And then he went up on the house. He went to Simon the Tanner's house, and he went up on the rooftop to pray. Peter was a praying man. He went up on the rooftop, and while he was praying, the clock struck high noon, 12 o'clock noon. And like most healthy men that have worked hard, they get hungry about that time. And Peter got very hungry, the Bible says. And while he was hungry, he fell into a trance. And the Bible says that he saw a four-cornered sheet full of all the fowl and the beasts and creeping things of the earth. And it was let down before him. And a voice said, Rise, Peter. kill and eat. Listen to this. Listen to Peter's answer. This is really striking. Peter said, "Not so, Lord. For I have never in my life, I have never, from as a Jewish little lad to this middle-aged apostle, I have never in my life eaten anything that is common or unclean." What an example of implicit obedience to the law of God. What if God's law said, "Thou shalt not smoke, thou shalt not drink, thou shalt not swear, thou shalt not, thou shalt not"? How many of us could say, when we're 30-some years old, like Peter was, "Have a cigarette"? No, Jesus wouldn't say that. No. But what if? "Have a drink"? What if? "Curse God"? What if? How many of us could say, "Not so, devil. Never in my life have I ever broken one of those commandments. Never has a cigarette dangled between my lips. Never has a glass of beer ever touched my mouth. Never has a curse word come over my lips. Never." That's striking, isn't it? Peter said, "Not so, Lord. I have never in all my life eaten anything that's common or unclean." He never snuck a pork roll sandwich. Never. He never did it. Implicit obedience is a wonderful thing. Sally, stop! Don't move! Sally stops dead in her tracks as the voice of her concerned, startled, almost panicking father cries out with an almost eerie voice and just splits the silence with his cry. Sally stops, waiting for further instructions from that voice that she knows. "Sally! Back up slowly! Slowly! Back up, Sally! Slowly! Don't hurry! Don't be nervous! Just keep backing up! Keep backing up, Sally!" "Okay, Sally, that's far enough. Now turn around and run to Daddy just as quickly as you can!" And Sally comes running to Daddy just as quickly as she can, flies into his arms and says, "Daddy, Daddy, what's wrong? What's wrong, Daddy? You scared me half to death." "Look, Sally, look down the path that you were walking. See that rattler? That giant rattler there? Coiled and ready to strike? You were one step away from striking distance. Oh, Sally, thank you for listening to Daddy. Thank you for your implicit obedience. Thank you for obeying me without knowing what it was all about. Sally, you're alive. You could have been dead." How many parents today say, "Junior, come here." And he turns around and runs the other way. And the parents pat somebody else on the back. "I knew he'd do that. Isn't that funny? If I want him to come, I say go. If I want him to go, I say come." Isn't that funny? That's not funny. That's not funny at all. I'm glad God doesn't talk to us that way. I'm glad that when God says something, he means exactly what he says. Now, the little girl didn't see the snake, but the father did. The father saw what the little girl didn't see. And the father cried out, and the girl cried out a command, and the little girl obeyed the command. Oh, how we as children of God need to learn the voice of God and be led by the voice of God and the Spirit of God. That voice needs to become a familiar voice to us. I thought about a true story. One time I was at a gathering of many people. Several families were there. The house was full of people. Now you can relate to the scene. The Davenport's loaded with adults. Every stuffed chair in the house was brought out in the living room, and everyone was occupied. Folding chairs were brought out of storage. People are sitting all over, and a dozen conversations are going on all at one time. And everybody seems to be visiting and having a good time, when all of a sudden, everybody's frozen. Every adult in the room is frozen. Except one man. I was there. One man knew the voice of his daughter. He leaped to his feet and he darted down the basement to minister to his screaming child. That's the way the Lord is. That's the way the Lord is. In fact, Psalm 20 verse 6 says he will hear. He will hear his children. He knows our voice. He knows our cry. And he cares about us. But that's not enough, folks. We need to know his voice. He knows our voice, and if we're going to have a conversation, we need to know his voice. If we're going to have communion with him, he knows our voice. That's one-sided. We need to know his voice also. In John 10, 27, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." Somebody quote the text tonight, please. For as many. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." They're led by my voice. They hear my voice. They follow me. So, what's he saying? He's saying, they're my sheep. And who's ever led by the Spirit of God are my sons. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then and he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. In the third verse of John 10, he said, it says, he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. His sheep are led by him. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Who is leading you, friend? Who is leading you, child of God? Who is leading us? The Spirit of God. If we're led by anything but the Spirit of God, we are not the children of God. Hello? I think I'm reading it right. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Praise the Lord. Now it takes a little practice. You know how a child is. A child has to learn the right voice, and there's a lot of instinct there too, I'm sure. But I think one of the favorite phrases of some more spiritual than thou people is, "The Lord told me." How many have ever heard that? "The Lord told me." How come you did that? "The Lord told me." Would you believe this? One man told me, "The Lord told me to divorce that woman and marry this other woman because she'd be much more effective in my ministry." Well, you just lost your ministry. You don't have a ministry. What a lie. How many people say, "The Lord told me"? And it really sounds spiritual. But I've had some experiences, and I'll relate just a few of them to you to make my point tonight. "The Lord told me." So four or five pastors converge on one city, and they all said, "The Lord told me to come to this city. The Lord told me to pastor this church. The Lord told me to be the senior pastor." Now, a church of a dozen and a half people doesn't need five pastors. That's got enough chiefs. It needs a few engines. Right. You know what I'm talking about. So, they all were called. The Lord told them to go to one place at the same time, to the same church, same message, and be the senior pastor. Now, when you experience things like that, even though it sounds spiritual to hear somebody say, "The Lord told me," or "The Lord showed me." In fact, they used to stone prophets that said, "The Lord showed them," and he did show them. Or, "The Lord told me to do this," and "The Lord didn't tell me." Or they prophesied something that the Lord didn't say, and it didn't come to pass, is what I'm trying to say. If the Lord said it to them, and it didn't come to pass, stone the guy. Stone him. It's a false prophet. It had to come to pass. That was the proof. So, I'll talk about that for a little minute here. But it sounds spiritual, but if it doesn't come to pass, it's not really spiritual. We need to learn, as children of God, as sons of God, to be led by the Spirit of God. Do you know that my wife and I had an experience? A lady that we knew was living with a man outside of marriage. That's adultery, folks. Adultery. She was living with a man, and they're doing it all over today. That's adultery. That's sin against God. That's wrong. Okay? She was living in adultery, and she went to a Pentecostal church, and the preacher, anointed, on fire, sweating, spitting, hair messed up, shirt pulled out, lays his hands on her and starts prophesying, "Thou art great Thou are going to get all nine gifts of the Spirit. Thou are going to preach, oh, the Lord is upon thee. Ooh!
We saw it. The preacher was ignorant of this woman being an adulteress, or else he was some kind of a fake. Oh, yeah. Oh, honey, remember? In another city, in another state, we had another experience. A friend of mine that I knew way back in the 40s was prophesied over. He was an older man. He and his wife were prophesied over in a good church. In a good church. Remember, false prophets hang out in good churches too. They went up and they were prophesied over, and the Spirit of the Lord was flowing, and the Spirit of the Lord, quote unquote, said, thou shalt, you are becoming aged, but thou shalt not die. Thou shalt go to foreign fields, and many shall be saved under your ministry. And of course, I think they're about ready to go down and buy their plane tickets, you know. But she died. He quit the church. I went and visited him. She died. We prayed for her while she was dying. He quit the church. He said, hey, the prophecy didn't come true. I don't need to go to that church. I'll just give you a little warning. Watch out for personal prophecies. Certain circles today are full of them. If they don't come to pass, they're not of God. And what should we go around fooling people for and saying things that don't come to pass? Okay, listen. I know a man who came to me and he said, and I've told this story before, he said, the Lord gave me an address of Minneapolis. The Lord gave me an address. I've got it right here. The Lord spoke to me. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'm not making fun of this man. This was a good man. But he hadn't learned how to be led by the Spirit of God. And so he had this address in his pocket. Show it to me right here. The Lord spoke to me, gave me this address. I wrote it down. I got to go to Minneapolis. And he said, Brother Tamron, that's not all. I checked my billfold. I checked all my pockets. I called the airport. I got the price for a plane ticket. It was this much. I looked in every one of my pockets. I took out all the money, laid it down on the table. It was exactly the amount. Woo, I feel the Spirit. Woo, I feel the Spirit. I mean, the Lord told me to go to Minneapolis. I called the airport. I got the price. I got the exact amount in my pocket. I'm going in the Spirit. He went to Minneapolis. He had to hitchhike back because there was no such address there. There was no such address in Minneapolis. He was not led by the Spirit. Good man, but did not yet know the voice of the Lord. I'm telling you, we have to know the voice of the Lord and be led by the Spirit of God. Okay, one Sunday morning, I'm getting ready to go to church. I mean, church is in great shape. The church is doing just fine. I mean, the church was on fire for God. I was whole, healthy, sound of mind, and I was ready to preach. I was on fire, and I was heading for the church. The telephone rings, and a man from another state calls me up, and he's nervous, and he says, Brother Tamron, the Lord showed me that your church is in trouble. It's in big trouble. I'm going to hop the next plane and come up and preach to your people. I want them all outside, not in the sanctuary. I'm going to preach to them outside. Boy, have you ever saw a bold Pastor Dan? I said, stay right there, brother. We don't need your services. Everything is fine here. You heard from something other than the Lord. And we haven't spoken since. That's been years. Not that I'm not. I would speak absolutely. I mean, I haven't been looked up since. Romans chapter 10, verse 2 is a very interesting verse of Scripture. Romans chapter 10, verse 2. Everybody ought to know this Scripture. Paul's writing to the Romans, and he says, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. Now listen, let me tell you something. When somebody gets saved, they have a zeal of God. And I would never, never, never discourage that zeal. Don't ever take the zeal of God away from a new convert. I've heard old saints say, oh, you just wait, young man. When you've been in the church as long as I have, you'll calm down. In other words, you'll dry up and blow away like I almost did. Don't ever discourage a new convert from his zeal. Let him have his zeal. Let him go door knocking. Let him witness to anything that moves. Let him pray all night. Let him go.
Amen.
Don't
Don't take away their zeal. Don't discourage their zeal.
Amen.
Just help them. Help them. Like Aquila and Priscilla helped the zealous Apollos. Yes. They took him aside and taught him the way of God more perfectly. That's all. We have a zeal of God. We just need knowledge. See, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now, I am making an application to that verse, but it's still there together. Knowledge and zeal. We need to add zeal to our knowledge. Amen. Zeal is great. Zeal is wonderful. But we have to add. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 say, verse 5 at least says, we should add to our faith virtue. Isn't that right? When you first get saved, even before you need knowledge, you need virtue. Virtue. And then add to your faith virtue, and then to your virtue, knowledge. Knowledge is right up there at the top of the list. Knowledge. But when you add knowledge, don't subtract zeal. When you add something to your spiritual experience, don't ever subtract anything that you already have from your spiritual experience. Amen. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. We don't trade knowledge for zeal or zeal for knowledge. No. We keep the zeal, but we add the knowledge. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Wow. How then can we tell when God is really speaking? After all these nightmares I told you about. How can we tell when God is really speaking? Well, I'll tell you one thing. Testing. Testing one. Testing one. Amen. Some of you are already with me. My first question is, if you're going to be led by the Spirit of God and you want to verify whether it's the Lord or not, check it out in the Holy Scripture. If it doesn't harmonize, if it doesn't flow with the Holy Scripture, it is not God. It is not right. 1 John 5:10, 7 tells us that the Word and the Holy Ghost are one. The Word and the Holy Ghost are one. The Word, that's this, and the Holy Ghost are one. Don't ever tell me, and I've heard them say, oh, we're led by the Spirit. In fact, my wife and I heard about a church. The pastor took the Bible and threw it across the floor of the platform and said, we won't need this anymore. We're led by the Spirit. Boy, I must have gotten blue in the face and red in the neck. I don't know what happened, but I mean, I just rose up and I said, hey, there's a scripture in John chapter 6, and it says, the words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit, and they are life. So brother, sister, if you want to be sure you're led by the Spirit of God, let this book be you. Let this book guide you. Let this book direct you. Go by this book. This book will not lie to you. This book will not lead you astray. Go by the book. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes. Thank God for the book. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We cannot separate the Word from the Spirit. Never let anybody tell you they're led by the Spirit when they're going against the Word. Because the Word is Spirit and truth. Hallelujah. Testing! Number two. This is from an experience that I had, my wife and I had. And that is, we have learned that when, now I'm talking about a specific leading of the Holy Ghost. Specific leading of the Holy Ghost. When you are hearing something or feeling something and you feel it's God and God is saying, tell this person this or do this or whatever. Testing number two. Does it agree with the Holy Scripture? Well, maybe it does. Maybe you're still not comfortable with it. Well, I'll tell you what my wife and I have learned. We have learned that Acts chapter 8. That's really good. Thought I'd just talk about it. Let's read it. Acts chapter 8. Verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself unto this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture where he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so openeth not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?
Then Philip opened his mouth and began with the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went their way, they came unto a certain one of the eunuchs said, see, here is water, what with him to be baptized. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Amen. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Praise God. Okay, testing number two. If the Lord's telling you something and it involves somebody else, he's already dealing on the other end. He's not going to deal with you alone. If you came to me and said, Brother Tambor, the Lord told me to tell you to go to bed at 9:30 tonight, I'd say, why don't you go fishing? It wouldn't mean anything to him. It wouldn't mean anything to him. God didn't tell me. God's not going to tell you to tell me. Unless he's already dealt with me, and then we receive a confirmation. Tongues and interpretation do not take preeminence over the Word of God. They confirm the Word of God. And if they don't confirm the Word of God, too many people lift up tongues and interpretation above the Word of God. They lift up prophecies and they get into personal prophecies and lift them up above the Word of God. Don't do it! Testing! Testing! Stay in the Word. Stay in the Scripture. You won't dry up and blow away. The Word is life. In fact, if you ever feel lifeless sometime, let me give you a little experiment to try. Just get your Bible and start reading. You can't pray. Let's say a company's coming over and they're coming over for prayer and you feel dead and dry. Let me tell you what to do. Get your Bible out and start reading. It's just like pumping up a tire. Only you're pumping up the band of the Holy Ghost. Every time you read a scripture, it's another pump. Another pump of spirit in you. Praise the Lord. I tell you, I start reading the Bible. It's no problem praying. You can't hardly wait. There's spirit in that Word of God. Amen. So we have to watch out and remember testing number two. God deals at both ends. I know what I'm talking about. I've had experiences. What about Peter and Cornelius? Remember when Cornelius was fasting and praying, and the Spirit said, send for Peter? And Peter's on the other end, and the Spirit says to him, some men are coming, go with them! It's me! I'm working on both ends! Well, he does. Amen. Let me tell you a little story. One of you came to me. Nervous. Scared. Trembling. You were going to make a trip to another state to visit some family members. You came to me. You said, Brother Tambor, I went to church with another relative to another church, and the pastor prophesied over me. And he said, don't make that trip. Don't make that trip. You're going to have an accident if you make that trip. And I don't remember if death or maiming of the body was at stake or what, but it was bad. It was bad. Brother Tambor, what should I do? I said, make the trip. Make the trip. First I asked him, did God tell you not to go? No. I said, then make the trip. I defy those voices. I defy those lies. I defy that fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Don't tamper with my mind. Hallelujah. If I wasn't supposed to go somewhere, the airplane's going to crash. God would tell me, and then he'd confirm it. Probably somebody else would come and confirm it. Brother Tambor, I had a dream. I had a dream that you were on the Boeing, what, and it crashed. Don't go. That would be different. I'd say, yeah, that's confirmation. The Lord's already told me. I'm not going. Not sure if I'll take the next plane. Praise the Lord. All right? The Lord knows all these things ahead of time. So this preacher prophesied over this young man and said, don't go. You're going to have an accident with much harm. And I said, go. You want to hear the rest of the story? He went. When he came back, he burst into my presence and said, thank you. Thank you. We went. No trouble. No accident. Not even a flat tire.
I'm not so smart. That's not the point.
I just read it and believe it. I just read it and believe it. Hallelujah.
I know there's preachers out there, there are people out there that have a lot of zeal, they don't have much knowledge.
That's where I'm coming from tonight. We've got to balance our zeal with that knowledge. Hallelujah. Don't ever lose your zeal. Keep adding knowledge. Well, shouldn't I witness until I feel led? Tell you what, the founder of the Bible college that I went to said, somebody, one of the students went to him and said, am I called to be a missionary? He said, yes. I said, well, I didn't hear any voice from heaven. God hasn't told me. And L.W. Koop said, this book says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Until you're called to stay home, you're already called to go. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Brother Koop. Thank you, Brother Koop. I go, praise the Lord.
There were some strong men years ago that believed the book, went by the book. So, do I have to be led to witness to somebody like Philip did in the desert? No. You don't have to be led. You're already led. The Word, which is Spirit and truth, already says go. It already says witness. It already says be ready to give an answer to every man that asks me who you know, glad in the meekness of spirit. Right? It already says that. Amen. But there are those special times like Philip had. There are those special times like Peter had, but generally, the Bible says that we just do it until we hear. Specifically. We do the general until we hear the specific, right? Yeah. Doesn't that make sense? Occupy till I come. Yes. Keep busy. Keep busy. Keep busy doing the will of God. By the way, folks, this is the will of God.
Amen.
I like what my wife says. The will of God is not a little blue piece of paper and you're down here on your knees and say, Lord, I need to know your will. Show me your will. And the Lord's dangling this, and you get up and reach for it, and he pulls it away a little. Come on. Come on, chase me a little harder. Here's my will. No, he's not saying that. Here's my will right here.
Amen.
You want to know what to do? I can prove to you that this is the will of God. The Bible says it's the will of God. Jesus said, blessed are they that hear the word of God and do it. And in the other synoptic gospel, it says, blessed are they that hear the word of God and do it. And the other one, it says, they that hear the will of God and do it. The word of God and the will of God are used synonymously or interchangeably. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The will of God. Amen. The word of God. Okay. The Spirit. Somebody quote it again, the text. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Okay, here's another text. Here's another test. If you want to find out if it's the Lord leading you to where you're going, to what you're doing, to what you're saying, to what you're reading, to what you're wearing. Listen, here's a good test. Testing! Testing! Number one, testing, is it in the book? Testing! Number two, is God working on both ends in those specific situations? Number three, testing. The Lord will not lead you where it would not lead Jesus. He was led by the Spirit. The Lord will not lead you where it would not lead Jesus. Let me tell you, children. Let me tell you, young people. Let me tell you, middle-aged folks. Let me tell you, older people. Let me tell us all. The Spirit will not lead us where it would not lead Jesus. In other words, don't go anywhere Jesus wouldn't go. And you're safe in the will of God. Don't do anything Jesus wouldn't do. You're safe in the will of God. Don't act any way Jesus wouldn't act. You're safe in the will of God. Don't talk or say anything that Jesus wouldn't say. Don't think anything he wouldn't think. You're in the will of God. The Spirit will not lead you where it would not lead Jesus. The Spirit will lead you where it will lead Jesus. Praise the Lord. So, pretty strong, isn't it? But what's wrong with thinking that two Norwegians get married and have a baby and the baby's a Norwegian? I mean, is that strange? Two Germans get married, and lo and behold, these two Germans have a baby, and it's a German. Is that strange?
Two girls get married, and that's strange. Two boys get married, that's strange.
But for two Indians to get married and have a little baby Indian, that's normal. That's the way it should be. Why then? Why? Tell me why.
When God has a child, it shouldn't be like Jesus. We are the sons of God. Shall we stand?
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Can we sing, "We are the sons of God," or something like it? "Where he leads me, I will follow." We are the sons of God first.
We are the sons of God. We are the sons of God. We are the sons of God. We have washed our robes in the blood of the Lamb. We are the sons.